and unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect Dharma is rarely met with even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. The silence is so rich, and yet I have to speak, right? I wanted to say, John, that I must have been the same squirrel that we saw. I had never seen a squirrel, almost a flying squirrel. It just touched down just a little bit, and it was the same color as the rocks, almost just shoo, shoo, shoo. And that was a different day.
A lot of life energy.
Yeah. Today, I haven't got out much. I'm disappointed, but it's a Dogen we're talking about. But I hope you all got out and saw the squirrel making the squirrel into the squirrel, or the Buddha way realizing itself as squirrel. Something concrete that you could see and almost feel like you were touching if you were close enough. I mean, if you were intimate enough, if you were not in the way of seeing the squirrel or whatever you got to see today and be. But so now we're seeing each other. We're not facing the wall. I really don't feel like talking about Dogen, but I'm going to, because we are in the mountains, and always, and we are in the waters, and we are the waters, and they're in us, and so are the mountains. Did you ever read that children's book, Maurice Sendak? I'm in the milk and the milk's in me, that one. I keep thinking of that when I read Dogen, which doesn't help, but it makes it more fun. It's true. So I can't know what you have been doing sitting here. I can feel that it's there's a strong feeling of practice here that's not separate. I feel as if, in my mind, when I'm not doing Zazen, I miss sitting here very much because I don't know what to do with myself. And actually, it's difficult to function in terms of reading, thinking. I'm glad I read everything and took notes ahead of time because I knew this would happen, but I just drop thinking momentarily, I'm sure, in Zazen, and then when I have a thought that gets in the way of my participating just precisely or wholeheartedly in any part of our Orioki, you know, one little thought that you follow, I get thrown off what I'm doing. So I'm not 100% doing what I'm doing. And it's gotten better, but I think more and more what I take home from Sesshin, people talk about that, and you do take home the sitting. It's not going anywhere away from you. But maybe one perspective or a wider perspective is you get onto yourself a little bit. You get onto the fact that what you think is a whole is only partial view, and that it can speed up when we go back. But we still know not to completely follow whatever comes into our mind, at least in our actions and words, and always know that when self-interest comes up, what's coming up? I think that's true. Sometimes, often too late. I also think that is, in addition to being an ethical guidelines, the precepts are also about being aware. Before you speak, for instance, or as you're about to speak. Often, though, it comes after we speak, and that's good, too, that it comes. We're not believing in what we said. Even when we think, if we waste time thinking about, somebody did this, aren't we kind of wasting time, especially in the Zendo? Because that actually is not happening at the moment. So anything we think in the Zendo is not necessary. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, what does it have to do with the present moment here now? I don't know. We'll have plenty of time to think about the future. On the last day, the last few days, though, people really, really do want to put some thought or awareness into it, the kind of awareness that actually can apply when you go back, we go back. But we want to know what to do, what to do, because we've had this experience. So when we go back, what can we do? We've got the Bodhisattva vows to guide us in the broad sense, in a very real sense. One version of the first vow, which I think I read in Okamura's book on the Gendroko in his commentary, sentient beings are numberless. I vow to free them instead of save them. And Hakuin said, I vow to save the sentient beings of my own mind. That's the only really way in reality we can process the idea of sentient beings. And in my own mind is heart mind. That's something we can do. Well, that's something we can endeavor and do. So, John and I had a little 1-minute encounter outside the Zendo, and it was about the mountains and waters, and was one male and the other female, and. Well, I didn't think so. I thought, because everything is all of us and we are in our mind, it's ours. It's in us. But I did realize we hadn't talked much about the water, so I just want to read a little bit and hope that you'll have some insights of the waters. This creek is just incredible. And the trees over it, and the birds, all, you know, it's just always changing. And the lake, always. Different times, like, you can see all the interrelationships in nature, I think more easily than we can see it ourself in there. But we can see it. We can see it for the first time. That's just what it is, whatever it is. So here is, well, this is going to make a clack. Okay. Just a few things about water in this. Mountains and waters, and it's for, I think, consideration as metaphor or analogy, I should say, and as for literal consideration, as the way things are. This one idea, and these are ideas of mine, well, this one is just a paraphrase of, if you want to catch a fish, you need to study the water it's swimming in. So I think that can be an analogy, and I'm sure it's true in life. Coben used to say, so called it reality. I'm sure it's true in so called it reality. But if you want to catch a view of yourself, try first looking at the water you're swimming in, was what I was thinking to myself as what we're doing. And I didn't mean anywhere outside of here, but I think it also applies. But I think when Dogen says to study the self, He starts with the individual. I don't know if that's true, but I think through that process, in other words, what's coming up, and more than the details of what's coming up, but how it's working, you know, what it's obscuring, why, you know, not even why, but how does it show you what you are dealing with in so-called reality. And in here, we get a chance, it becomes more and more open, just like the moon here is looking more and more full. And it's almost full. That's the way I like to take it. And I like to see it as an image. So this is more about water. And it's more about the human perceptions that I referred to before, but the way hungry ghosts and dragons, for instance, see water is different from ours. And perhaps in different moods, we see it differently. But hungry ghosts see water as raging fire or pus and blood. Dragons see water as a palace or pavilion. Some beings see water as the seven treasures or a wish-granting jewel. Some beings see water as a forest or a wall. Some see it as the Dharma nature of pure liberation, the true human body, or as the form of body and essence of mind. Human beings see water as water. Water is seen as dead or alive, depending on causes and conditions. I think the way we see water as water, it doesn't mean that we're seeing the ultimate water. I think it means that that's water. When we see water, we say that's water, because that's what it is to us. When the dragon says that's pus and all this good stuff, that translates to the same for them as water is for us, I suppose. That's what Dogen is saying to me. So, but, you know, then it doesn't have to get complicated. Accordingly, endeavors of the views of all beings are not the same. You should pursue this beyond the limit of pursuit. Accordingly, because all beings are not the same, our endeavors and practice realization of the way are not limited to one or two kinds. And that's not talking just about people. But on the other hand, water does not depend on all these other beings for its realization. And Dogen, dualism here. Nor does it not depend on these other beings for its realization. Water's freedom depends only on water. And water isn't forms. Smells, it sounds a lot like the Heart Sutra in this bit. This is number 12. It's not, and it lists a lot of different forms that depend on it, but it does not depend on those forms. Water's freedom depends only on water. And so since water is not earth, wind, fire, or space, it's not just that, or consciousness, or any of the colors, or sounds, or smells, or touch, or objects of mind. But water as earth, water, fire, wind, and space realizes itself. Again, this isn't something far away from us that we're talking about here. This is something you do in some way recognize, I'm sure. I don't want to get into anything too complicated, so I skip things. There are many kinds of flowing. We see only water, say that it flows unceasingly, but there are many ways of looking at it besides the human way. The path of water is not noticed by water, but is realized by water. It is not unnoticed by water, but is realized by water. What are you doing with that when I read these things? What's going on? I'm just giving it some silence, yes.
Thinking about your talk on Sunday, which I really enjoyed, about poetry and like our impulse oftentimes is to try to figure it out, mm-hmm. and just enjoying the play of words, enjoying what happens when I hear it.
Good. I don't think we need to figure it out unless, like I said, I don't have it figured out, but just know that it's not unrelated, it's intimately related to what we're doing here. And that just sounds, it sounds beautiful. And that's more immediate than reading or thinking. So that's a good thing. Sinks in. Rings a bell is what I always say. So it's only when water falls to the ground that it becomes rivers. It's not always just in rivers or in waters. You know, it's in clouds. It's in all forms. It's a basic element of life. But rivers and oceans exist in water. And when water falls to the ground, it manifests the characteristic of rivers and oceans. Even in a drop of water, innumerable Buddha lands appear. Therefore, it is not a question of whether there was only water in the Buddha land or a Buddha land in water. The existence of water is not concerned with past, present, or future, or the phenomenal world. Yet water is actualization of the fundamental point. Where Buddha ancestors reach, water never fails to appear. Because of this, Buddha ancestors always take up water and make it their body and mind, make it their thought. You don't have to say anything about this, but it's there. It's there when you're ready. That last part was Ginjo Koan. Fundamental, actualizing the fundamental point. If you have any questions about that, you can ask John. So, yes, Chris.
What? If I can capture it, just that what you said before about water not intending to be this, that, or the other is such a metaphor for being present. You know, it's was really love the poetic way that that describes letting go and allowing whatever form things are as they are. And I was thinking about being down at the pond and seeing two little eyes come up of a turtle, and I don't know, just turtle being turtle,
yeah,
in its element, you know.
Yeah.
And how when your ego drops away, there you are.
Right. Oh, that's so nice. There you are, peering up from the water. Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. Great. Yes.
I have processed this as the Soto version of koan practice. Basically, in a longer form and with references to small points that you can grab onto for a moment without knowing where you are at.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it as a way of, for me, for myself and my own practice, trying to break that, my overwhelming attachment to the cognitive mind, to understanding, as a way of being more open to what is, rather than seeing things the way I think I understand mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
And beyond understanding.
Yeah, I, for some reason, I don't know why it is. I can't remember what started it, but in the last 3 months, I've been doing that, not in my sitting, but just anytime I see myself, you know, having a view or a perspective and realizing that's just a human perspective. As a matter of fact, there's only one human's perspective that is mine. So that's helpful. I don't know how helpful it is to try to break it down in your sitting, because that's too many minds working against each other. Suggestion. It's a worthy ambition.
By the way, as you were speaking, a golden yellow coyote walked through the woods, right up that path into the sunlight, the dappled sun.
Oh, thanks for telling me that.
Amazing.
You know, if you sit outside, coyotes, I mean, probably especially here, it's safe, come right up. They don't notice you're there, I guess, or they don't care. Oh, it was the dog?
Cat.
Oh, the Bodhi. Yeah. Well, there used to be a cat here named Moo that could have been mistaken for a golden coyote. Huge.
Actually, Bodhi transforms into a bobcat every now and then.
Okay. I see.
Mm-hmm. One thing that struck me about the passage you read was that there's something about water realizing itself in relationship to the other elements, fire, water, space.
Right.
Right.
I mean, it's wide open, but what struck me when you said that was that within water is earth, you have minerals. You know, hydrogen and oxygen by themselves are not water, but when they're together, they're water. And I just started, you know, the fire of the water, some people say, is the movement of water. And that the elements are together in that way. It's like the earth of earth and the fire of earth and, you know.
Yeah, all right, studying acupuncture, and I've not studied that, but have been interested in those elements. Do you want to say what those are so people can hear?
Oh, and those elements are earth, water, metal, fire.
Wood.
Thank you, wood. And it's not necessarily like fitting it into another system. It was just thinking of the elemental thinking. And because mm-hmm. if you look at the Greeks' way of thinking of elements and the Chinese or, you know, just different parts of the world, it's still elemental.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Dogen's teaching comes from China. And the early Buddhism, certainly starting with Bodhidharma, was very influenced by Taoist thought, and Taoism was conjoined with Buddhism in a way. And this theory I read in a Buddhist art book by Stephen Addis. We talked about that, Jarreau, I think. Long time ago, I mentioned I'm reading this fantastic book. The Taoists, they didn't have any particular meditation practice, anything like Zen, is what the book said. So a lot of them, there was no problem, Taoist, Zen, you could be both. And a lot of the poets use, and the art reflects Taoist influences, and we still do. Dogen still does, I think.
In the book, The Tao of Zen, there's like the assertion or the hypothesis that Zen is actually a Taoist movement more than it is a Buddhist movement, which is interesting. Well, it doesn't matter so much.
Well, Bodhidharma brought Buddhism, but I think it was... Or not, and did Bodhidharma really come? But I think it was a very happy conjoinment, and it certainly doesn't, excuse me.
As a guest, I don't need to talk so
much. Oh, that's good. No, like I think I said, it doesn't resemble the Buddhism that I learned in college in a 6-week course on world religion. I like the Taoist. The Buddhist just had all these numbered things. My friend, one of my best friends, loves all the numbered things. But that was boring to me. So, yes.
Every time in the session, room comes to me. He's present here. And he says a poem about water, about a drop of water, that it is his and the ocean,
right,
which is with every sentient being together.
Yeah.
I stayed in Farsi, in Persian, and I appreciate if Violet.
Oh, wonderful.
He says, قطر دریاست اگر با دریاست ورنه اون قطر با دریا دریاست.
Oh, I can't even repeat that in Farsi. No, I'm kidding. But the translation goes something like, the drop ocean if they are together. Otherwise, the drop is the drop and the ocean is the ocean. But I would say, if you don't want to translate word by word, in a sense, the way it's been, I guess we can say it is that it's been said you are a drop in an ocean and an ocean in a drop. That's really the essence of, I think, what he's trying to say, that a drop of water is the entire ocean, and it is really just like, I think in Zen, we use the dewdrop a lot.
Right, sure. Moon in the dewdrop, yeah. Yes, thank you. That's beautiful. I would love to, if you would write down those sometime and send it to me. I'll give you my email. So how's it going? Are you still wondering what you're going to do when you go home? Or what where are we now? Thank you. Our numberless, I bow to save him. Our inexhaustible, I bow to end them. Boundless, I bow to enter them. Thus ways unsurpassable, I vow to become it.